Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You are listening to us on Noonan Zone, WQEE 99.1 FM The Key. I hope that you are enjoying your Tuesday afternoon as we have got a jam-packed show. I'm going to have Philip Jordan coming on the show today. Tomorrow, Tanya Chavez is going to be on the show talking a little New Mexico basketball as this is the week of March Madness brackets. I filled out my bracket. I'm feeling confident about my Final Four, Illinois, North Carolina, Houston, and Texas. I got North Carolina beating Houston to win it all. It's going to be a flashback of the 1980s with legendary coach Dean Smith, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins going up against Phi Slamma Jamma. This was the final we all wanted to see in the 1980s and just never came to fruition. And we also got some NIT matchups. Some of the teams that got invited to the NIT decided not to accept the invitation. And so, by default, Georgia's going to play in the NIT today against Xavier. I'll recap the Hawks-Lakers. Also, Aaron Donald calls it quits in the NFL. We've got some big-time NFL free agency moves. And we got high school baseball from last night. Let's go ahead and start with high school baseball. As you've seen, that I called the Brookstone-Columbus game on Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. What a game. Brookstone wins 2-0. A pitching duel between Taft Middleton for Brookstone and Michael Nottleman for Columbus. Brookstone wins the game 2-0. They go to 12-3 on the season. Brookstone, one of the top teams in the GIAA. Columbus falls to 8-9. Columbus will be back in action today as they will take on Harris County. You can catch that game on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Other baseball scores: Manchester defeated Kendrick 19-2. St. Ampicelli defeats Westfield School 12-4. And how about the Central Red Devils getting the 9-4 victory over Hendersonville as they are now 17-1 on the season? Here's some of the games going on today in high school baseball. Spencer taking on Southwest. Jordan is taking on Rutland. Like I mentioned, Columbus is taking on Harris County up in Hamilton, Georgia. Shaw is taking on Hardaway in a big region game. Northside is taking on Northgate out of Noonan. Russell County is hosting Holtville for a doubleheader. Glenwood is hosting North Bay Haven Academy. Central is on the road against Alberta. And Brookstone is hosting St. Mary's Academy. Some of the other games today: Drew is at McIntosh. Landmark Christian is hosting the Callaway Cavaliers. You also got Heritage, that is in Locust Grove, taking on Strong Rock Christian. Schley County is in Butler, taking on Taylor County. Douglas is taking on Sandy Creek. Pike County is taking on Peach County. And Fayette County hosting Riverdale. And finally, Troop County on the road at Stars Mill. Oh, and one more. LaGrange is taking on Whitewater. Manchester on the road taking on Lafayette Christian. NIT Georgia taking on Xavier. today at Stegman Coliseum, Georgia, 17-16 on the season. They get an invite to the NIT because teams like St. John's and Memphis, they all decided, we don't even want to be a part of this. And so they decided to stay home. And so Georgia taking advantage. You got teams like Ole Miss that just decided, thanks, but no thanks. LSU is in the NIT as well. And finally, the Hawks lose to the Lakers last night at the Crypto Arena. They beat the Clippers the night before, and they lose to the Lakers the following night. Now, Thursday, they're taking on the Phoenix Suns before they're back at home Saturday against the Charlotte Hornets. This has been a topsy-turvy season for the Atlanta Hawks, which is going to be without Trae Young for a while. DeJounte Murray is carrying the load, and they're really not a good team. And the only surprise that I really am very impressed with is Jalen Johnson averaging almost 16 points a game. Sadiq Bey is going to be out for the regular season. I still think, you know, with Clint Capela and Yeku Kongru, they have not met the expectations on the season. And Bogdan Bogdanović has been a disappointment. But all in all, the Atlanta Hawks look like they are going to be in the play-in game, and they'll probably face the Chicago Bulls, and who knows what is going to happen there. Boston's already clinched a playoff berth in the NBA. One more note, I do want to talk a little bit about Major League Soccer, as Atlanta United did get the 2-0 victory over Orlando. They are 2-0-1. They did get a goal by Georgios Giakoumakos. He's got his third goal of the season, and Atlanta United is going to be taking on Toronto FC this Saturday, a rematch of the 2019 Eastern Conference Finals. And that game is going to be at BMO Field in Toronto, Canada. All right, I think it's about that time to take the first commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to have Philip Jordan on, host of the Philip Jordan Show, as we're going to talk March Madness, NFL offseason, and even college football, because we all know there's no offseason in college football, as Josh Pate would say. All right, back with Philip. Here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High. with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
How is everybody doing? Welcome to yet another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope that you're having a great Monday night, as I am excited about doing another live show on Facebook Live and on YouTube for the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. Go and like that Facebook page. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can also subscribe to the podcast. I'm found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. All right, look what I got in my hand. Yes, I filled out my bracket. I actually did it just moments after selection show was finished. And so I got thoughts about this NCAA tournament. And as much as I, you know, want to pick chalk, I think it's fascinating because last year we had a 16th seed beat a 1 seed. And we had a 15 seed beat a 2 seed. I don't think that's going to happen this year. If there is a number 2 seed that is vulnerable, I think Tennessee could lose to St. Peter's. But this is not the same St. Peter's team that went to the Elite Eight 2 years ago. This is going to be an exciting March Madness. And I cannot wait. I still think that Auburn got hosed by getting a number 4 seed. And in probably the toughest bracket, the East bracket with UConn, Illinois, Iowa State. I mean, these are all conference champions. And I actually think that Auburn gets out of that bracket, at least to the Elite Eight. I think that they beat UConn in the Sweet 16. But this is going to be a tease for Wednesday. On the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show, Thrip Arringer and I are going to be live at the Beck Center on the campus of St. Apicelli, as we will reveal our brackets. I just love this type of week in sports. It is just my favorite week. That Thursday and Friday, just being in front of the TV or, you know, the phone, since I'll be at work, just watching all the games. It starts on Tuesday with Wagner and Howard, then Colorado State and Virginia, and then on Wednesday, Grambling and Montana State, Colorado, and Boise State. Thursday, 12:15 on CBS, Michigan State, Mississippi State. And then Duquesne, BYU at 12:40, Akron and Creighton, Long Beach State in Arizona, North Carolina plays the play-in game, Morehead State, Illinois, Oregon, South Carolina. That's going to be a fascinating matchup. I actually think Oregon ends up winning that game. And then not only do we have March Madness, we also have NFL free agency. Big NFL news, Aaron Donald calling it quits. Is he a Hall of Famer? Well, absolutely, yes. College football, it is going to be official. It hasn't really broke yet, but we will have 14-team playoff. That's inevitable. It's going to happen because you're going to have two super conferences. The winner of the SEC and the winner of the Big Ten are going to be your number 1 and number 2 seeds. I mean, it kind of just sizes up that way. We've got a very special show because I'm going to have Philip Jordan on the show. He is a host of a show called The Philip Jordan Show. He's out of Dothan, Alabama, and I am super excited to have him on, as he has been a regular, and he's just going to get on the show and talk a little college football. As, you know, we do have the 14-team playoff that's about to happen. And then we've got spring games coming up. I mean, he covers the Wiregrass area. I mean, you got Troy, you got Auburn, you got Alabama. I mean, he's all over that area. And I'm very excited to bring Philip Jordan on the show in just a minute. But I want to remind everybody that you are watching us on Facebook and watching us on YouTube. This is presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I've completely retooled my show. I even got a new album art cover. I got a new polo shirt. I got a new logo. I mean, everything is new at the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge as I had my 800th episode a couple of weeks ago. Had my top 10 list of my most frequent guests, and my next guest actually made the top 10 list. I actually forgot how many appearances he's been on, but he's definitely in the top 5. So without further ado, I want to welcome my next guest, Philip Jordan. Philip! Man, I tried to give you an introduction. I wanted to make sure you got your proper introduction. You got your flowers. Philip, it's great having you on the show once again. Just to talk about, you know, a lot of stuff. I mean, we got college football. We got NFL offseason. We've got the NCAA tournament. But how have you been?
I've been good. Been good. This is one of my favorite weeks of the year, college basketball. Just behind the scenes, I hadn't probably been to watch the regular season as much as I usually do because I'm a student once again at the ripe age of 37. So, but I keep up Auburn Tigers, Alabama basketball at least. But man, I'm excited. It's my, like I said, this is one of my favorite weeks of the year, March Madness. I would say after Super Bowl, it's gonna be probably like one of the biggest events of the year. But yeah, and I'm always happy to join you, Richard. The check's in the mail for allowing me to come on the show as many times as you have. I kid. But yeah, I like what you're doing. I like the new logo. Looks cool. The shirt, everything else. I like what you're doing. So I always appreciate you letting me come on and ramble on and on about these sports that we do love so much.
Oh, I went all out, Philip. But I got excited after the Selection Sunday a show that I saw on CBS. I went to the printer and printed out my bracket. And let me tell you something. I believe that Auburn got hosed. Are you kidding me? A 4 seed? They just won the SEC tournament. They've been ranked all year. I mean, by the way, big time War Eagle, 3rd SEC conference tournament. I mean, they won it in 2019 when they went to the Final Four. Before that, they won it in 1987. I mean, it's great time to be an Auburn Tiger if you're a basketball fan. But they're going to have to travel up to Spokane, Washington to be in probably one of the toughest brackets I have ever seen. We've got the defending champion UConn Huskies. We've got two other representatives that were in the Final Four last year, San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, in this bracket. We got the Big Ten champion, Illinois, in this bracket. We got Iowa State, the Big 12 champion, in this bracket. I mean, this is going to be like, let's say like this is like the World Cup and we have all these groups. This is the group of death.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I was pulling it up on my end, too. Auburn at a 4. And, you know, obviously the committee does not care about the conference championships. They only care about it for the AQ teams, the automatic qualifiers, the smaller conferences. And obviously, let's say if an Ole Miss or Georgia, somebody like Arkansas, maybe they had made a run in the SEC championship and won it. Okay, you pay attention to that because, okay, we got to plug this team in somewhere. We got to fit them in. But obviously, they didn't watch it. And then here's the thing that if you're an Auburn supporter that has to bother you. Now, look, and before I say what I'm about to say, I know Kentucky beat Auburn in regular season. And they beat them in Auburn, a place pretty much nobody goes in and wins. You don't go into Neville Arena and win. But I'll say this. Kentucky got beat on the opening their first game. Friday, they had to bye. They lost. Auburn and Kentucky were tied for second place. And then Auburn does what they do. They win the SEC tournament championship. I just think, I'm not saying Auburn should be a 2, but I do believe they should have been a 3. If Kentucky gets a 3, Auburn should get a 3.
Absolutely.
I think Alabama's probably where they need to be. They're 5-5, their last 10, and two of those win are overtime wins. Two of those losses against Florida. They just do not match up against well against Florida. But I will play devil's advocate. I think, too, it may have hurt Auburn that Kentucky and Tennessee gets knocked out on Friday. Because if they had run through the tournament beating Tennessee and Kentucky on back-to-back days, you probably do get 2 or 3. Who knows, maybe a 2. Maybe playing South Carolina, Mississippi State, and then Florida hurt them. But I don't know. you win the SEC Tournament Championship. You've won six games in a row to close out the year. Auburn's been one of the better teams. I think they're one of the top 10 teams in college basketball. And just look at the team they have, the depth that this Auburn basketball team has. I mean, your two best players are your two bigs, Jalen Williams and, of course, Janiah Broome. Janiah Broome was awesome against Florida on Sunday. It was awesome the whole tournament.
No question.
And, you know, then you got Dylan Cardwell coming off the bench, who's a really – he would start for most teams, Richard. Dylan Cardwell is a starter. I mean, Auburn has – I think Bruce Pearl has said this. They have 10 starters pretty much. And then the three-point shooting is going. Donaldson hit a couple threes there in the second half when Florida was making a run. Denver Jones has been playing much better lately. That was a transfer coming in that they really were high on. And then also, you know, Aiden Holloway, the freshman, he can hit the three as well. Chris Moore played well. I mean, Auburn can beat you with their defense and their offense. I don't know. They're a dangerous team, obviously. But, you know, I think they can get out of the first weekend. It's going to be tough. More than likely, you'll beat UAB or San Diego State. And San Diego State will be tough. But I believe they get out of that weekend. And Auburn shouldn't, like, feel like if they get out of the second week, out of that first weekend, that they should fear UConn. I mean, UConn's the best team. They're one of the best teams. But Auburn can beat them. Auburn can play with anybody. It's kind of interesting, though. We have four teams from Alabama in the tournament. Three of those four are in the Spokane, Washington area. Because UAB's there and Alabama's there.
Yeah, it's really amazing just looking at this bracket. So, Philip, last year we had a 16 seed beat a 1. Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue. We had Princeton beat Arizona. They were a 15 seed. Arizona was number 2. I mean, it rarely happens in the tournament. But if there was a number 1 seed and a number 2 seed that is vulnerable for an upset, who do you got?
Okay, so I've got obviously you're audience can't see it, but I'm looking at the bracket myself. I would say I don't think any of the one seeds are in danger, to be honest. I don't know, maybe Houston is vulnerable in the second round because they didn't look great against Iowa State. But if I had to pick a two seed that might fall, not Tennessee, I think they'll rebound after their bad performance. Marquette, they're a two seed in the South bracket. They were playing Western Kentucky. I think perhaps that game could be a close one, and Western Kentucky could pull off the upset. I don't see Tennessee losing, and Purdue now we got to do look. Who's Tennessee playing? St. Peter's. Now, we do remember what that team did a couple years ago. They went on a run and beat Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they'll do this again. But
different team, different coach.
Different all the way around. South Dakota State, Iowa State. Iowa State was very impressive in the Big 12 tournament championship. I don't see Long Beach State with knocking off Arizona CI. So if I had, and I'm not picking it, but if I had to choose a two seed that could fall, I think Marquette would be the one to go with against Western Kentucky.
I'm not picking Long Beach State against Arizona, but you know Arizona was a number 2 seed, lost to Princeton last year. I highly doubt Arizona as a number 2 seed is going to do that again, but anything could happen. I just think that the Big West, you know, it's a very unique conference. They, you know, they really don't play like tough basketball on the West Coast. I mean, a lot of the West Coast teams usually get out in the first couple of days of the tournament. But I'm looking at my bracket. This is actually the year of the number 12 seed. I mean, you always see 12 beat a 5. You didn't have it at all last year. All the number 5 seeds won last year. But I'm looking at my bracket. I have got UAB beating San Diego State. I've got St. Mary's beating Grand Canyon, although Grand Canyon is the pick that a lot of people are picking in the 12-5 matchup. I got James Madison beating Wisconsin. And I got McNeese beating Gonzaga.
McNeese, Will Wade.
Will Wade, 30-plus wins.
Hey, he's
incredible
a,
season.
He's a despicable human being, but
he is.
He's a heck of a basketball coach. we'll just leave it at that one. If any, well, I don't know. Do you have much of a McNeese State audience, Richard?
No, not really.
Well, you never know when they may come across something. So if there's a McNeese State person out there upset with my thoughts on Will Wade, you can hit me up at PJordanSEC. That would be interesting, UAB and Auburn. Obviously, two Alabama schools playing each other out there in Spokane. Andy Kennedy's done a tremendous job. You know, he was a good coach at Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss made a mistake when they moved on from him.
Right.
I think they were a solid team that was winning about 20 games a year. We all remember the Marshall Henderson year. And look, Andy Kennedy did a great job with that team because we know Marshall Henderson was kind of up and down, emotional, just kind of the antics and everything. He did a great job at team. They won the SEC tournament that year. You know, of course, everybody remembers that year when Marshall Henderson really took off. But, yeah, Andy Kennedy's a tremendous coach. He did a good job at UAB. This was their first year in the AAC and won the conference tournament championship there against Temple. I watched a little bit of that game on Sunday. They were a very impressive team. But Andy Kennedy teams are always going to be well-coached. So, if Auburn plays them, that'll be a tough matchup just because how well-coached UAB is.
So, usually – I just a couple of things before we move on to the snubs. Teams like Michigan State, they get in and they're a number 9 seed. I remember they had a big run as a number 7 seed. This is what Tom Izzo does. I mean, they get a tough schedule. They have a very unimpressive win-loss record, like a 17-13, but they sneak into their tournament because of their strength of schedule. And I would not be shocked if Michigan State beats North Carolina in the second round, but I'm actually going to spoil my bracket. I actually got North Carolina winning the whole thing.
You mentioned Michigan State. Don't look past a feisty, physical, tough Mississippi State.
That's right. Mississippi State could knock them out in the first round. You're right.
It's the battle of the MSUs in that one. Look, everybody knows my Twitter handle, or you know it. It's PJordanSEC, so I may favor a little SEC. But
of course, you got
to. And that team, again, I'm using Auburn as a reference. They beat them earlier in the year. I mean, that was a startful. Of the three tournament games Auburn won, Mississippi State gave Auburn the toughest matchup. I mean, they're just a physical they're going to make the game ugly. That game between Michigan State and Mississippi State, just knowing the history of Tom Izzo, I wouldn't expect that to be a pretty offensive game from either team. That might be a rock fight between those two. But yeah, you're right. And Tom Izzo, he's great in these tournaments. I mean, he's taken average teams. He's had some really good teams though that kind of have flamed out in the tournament. But then he gets teams like this that, like you said, maybe it's 8, 9, 5, 6, you know, not one of the top seeds, but make a run. And look, I mean, he knows what it takes in this tournament. So we'll see. I know I say a lot of North Carolina. I'll have to say this as we're recording this. I have not filled out my bracket yet. I have not done it. It will be happening soon. But yeah, Michigan State, they're always a problem just because that.
And Phillip, this is not a prop. I actually have this filled out. And I know I was like, yeah, I just printed out the bracket. And it is filled out, as you can see. But I'm not going to reveal my whole bracket. That'll actually be for a later show. Thrift Farage and I doing the Georgia Alabama Sports Live show. We'll probably reveal that on Wednesday, especially since we got play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday, which could factor in making your selections. But, Phillip, we got to talk about the snubs. Because there are some teams that are like knocking on the door. There are only 68 teams can get in. But what about Indiana State? What about Seton Hall? What about Pitt, Oklahoma? I mean, they have a right to plead their case about getting into this tournament. South Florida is another one.
Well, I don't tell you about those teams. Tough. I mean, it's hard. Were they on those teams going to win it?
Probably not.
No. So, but you know what? We may be getting a 96-team tournament in the future, so those teams will be in.
Well, if the college football can get 14 teams, but the sky's the limit.
Yeah, that is a whole other thing. I'm against 96. 68, it does not need to go past that. At that point, why are we even playing regular season games? The regular season for casuals is not really watched as it is. People tune in for March. Now, I'm a guy, I'll watch games during the week, during the season. I think college basketball is a better game than the NBA. That's just my opinion. I like the way the game is played. The refs need to hold on to the whistles a little bit more at the end of these games, but still. But if we go to 96, what's the point? What's the point of the season? It's going to get that way with college football. I wasn't in favor of 12. I was in favor of 8. And I think actually 8 would have worked even better now with 4 power conferences, because you would just say, okay, the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, and the SEC, those champions would automatically get in. And then you have 4 wild cards. And let it go. There's no buys. Here's the thing. I had you on my show to talk about the Super Bowl. Everybody mm-hmm. knows I'm a fan of the NFL. But, Richard, I want the NFL and college to stay different. I want them to be 2 different things. I want to watch Saturday football, and I want to watch Sunday football. And the college is getting closer and closer to looking just like the NFL. I mean, we've even seen there's been conversations about having a 2-minute warning, basically having the same rules of the NFL. We already see it with the clock. They're going that way. Players being paid. The transfer portal is basically free agency. Which we got that college basketball too. So I don't know. I've always liked that the college sports look different than the pro sports. I don't want them to look the same.
Well, it's like when I'm watching arena football. I know that it's arena football when the receiver is in motion before the quarterback hikes the ball. I mean, just give that to me. Just give me a different game. Like the XFL, that different camera angle. That's what I loved. College football cannot be the same as the NFL. But we haven't even played the 12-team playoff, and they're already talking about 14 in 2026.
How do we know that even going to work? And apparently now the NFL is trying to get a college to move one of the games off of that Saturday because they don't want to go head-to-head.
I wouldn't either. I mean, that Saturday, the NFL usually has those Saturday games. We're talking – yeah, that weekend before Christmas when you got the like the New Mexico Bowl, you got the Cure Bowl, and all the beginning bowl games that happen around December 18th, 19th, 20th of it, that first round of the college football playoff is going to be at the home stadiums, and this is going to be for everybody that's the 5 seed is going to end up hosting a home playoff game. And, your top 4 seeds are going to have a bye, and then they're going to be in one of the big-time bowl games in the semifinal, quarterfinals. And then we'll have the semifinals. So it's crazy time coming in college football. But we better get ready, because this is what it's all about. I mean, we love college football in the South. I know, Phillip, you cover Alabama, Auburn, Troy. I mean, so you're really invested in college football, and that's one of the reasons why I love your show, is because you have some great guests. You have experts, play-by-play announcers, coaches that really, it just means more here in the South. And I'm learning, because I'm from California, but I've been living in the South for, well, almost 20 years now. So, I love college football.
You've been here long enough.
I've been here long enough where I've adapted college football. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, it's just – and I'll say this, too. I think a lot of people do worry with the 12-team, 14-team, which, little caveat, I think we're eventually going to get to 16. I think that's probably where it's going to go. I'm not for that either, but anyways, it's just a pageantry of college football.
Absolutely.
And let's be honest. There may be a handful of NFL stadiums you can go to that feel different, but most of them are cookie cutter. An NFL game feels like an NFL game. NFL is better on television. A college game, the emotion, the environment, everybody's different. Everybody's got different traditions, like Auburn with the Eagle. you know, inner Sandman up there in Virginia Tech. I mean, LSU, when you're the visiting team, you've got to walk by that Tiger. You know that's got to be intimidating.
Intimidating. What about Sandstorm at South Carolina?
That's another. And South Carolina is a very underrated environment. Man, the Egg Bowl. Look, the Egg Bowl rarely, if ever, is for anything big in the postseason. Pick it up a little bit with Ole Miss because they're better now. And with Dan Mullen, Mississippi State had some years. That rivalry is just as heated as the Iron Bowl, as the game between Ohio State and Michigan and any other college football rivalry. I mean, those two, I ain't saying the teams, but those programs, those fans of those programs hate each other. And I just can't imagine they do it on Thanksgiving night, too. It's just, it's different. College football's different. It just has a different feel. I mean, we know on Sunday we're watching the best players in the world. That's what we're doing. But it's just something special about college football Saturday. It's the fan bases add to it.
Philip, I'm going to come out and say it. With the NIL and the transfer portal, I honestly think that the service academies are doomed. I think that they, how are they going to be able to compete with, you look, I understand Army and Navy, they're the least penalized teams in college football. And, you know, they run the triple option. But the talent level is just going to be astronomical when it comes to the level of play on the field because of the NIL and transfer portal.
Yeah, I've had some thoughts on that. Like, just, you know, going through, just thinking about where we're headed in college football, college athletics. And look, they're already behind when it comes to the talent level. I mean, there's a reason why these teams run the triple option, because let's face it, they can't just line up and just run straight at somebody, because the offensive linemen are not going to be as big at a group of five school. And we know why, because the physical requirements when you're in the military. But the recruiting process of bringing somebody in, those schools. Well, now you're competing with NIL stuff, people getting paid, and we all know the commitment you make when you go to an Air Force, an Army, or a Navy. That's going to be harder to get football players there, too. And you know what else? Are we going to have games? We're going to have to put bowl games and maybe playoff games in the future if this thing keeps expanding on that Saturday that's pretty much been reserved for Army versus Army Navy.
Which, by the way, I never agreed with this. They already make their bowl selections and the final college football playoff rankings, and the regular season's not even over. They play the Army-Navy game the week after. What if, and at one time, Navy was in the American Conference and they're playing in the conference championship the following week. Navy was ranked. You know, if the Army-Navy game has, you know, college football playoff implications, I mean, it does affect. I'm just not a fan of having this regular season game after all the bowl games have been decided. And by the way, Army was, they had 6 wins, but because they won against 2 FCS schools, they were not bowl eligible, and we had a 5-7 team make a bowl game.
Yeah. And I think I remember one year, and this may have been before the 14 playoff, but I can't remember which team it was. They needed one more win to be bowl eligible. So they had a bowl game. So they had it set up where if whoever it was that needed the 6 win won, they would go to the bowl game. But then they would have had to find another team to come into the bowl if that team had lost. Because it was probably Navy, because I think it was that time where Army really was pretty much going 2-10, 3-9 every year, over 10 years ago. That may have been it. But, yeah, it is an interesting setup that the way they do it. But I just like that game is on Heisman Trophy weekend. But they get their own game. They get their own time. The whole country, if they're watching college football that day, unless they're watching FCS playoffs, they're watching Army-Navy. And I think with the expansion of the playoffs, we could potentially see where that won't be the only games played that day.
Okay, Philip, let's go ahead and switch gears and let's talk NFL free agency, NFL news, everything going on. Is that my phone dropped? Yeah, because we got breaking news that's happening. You're a Green Bay Packers fan. They get Josh Jacobs.
I thought you were about to actually have breaking news you were telling me. I was over here looking at my phone. I was like, what have I missed?
No, here's the thing. I had my phone out and I was like trying to find what's going on, and then, you know, my phone dropped, and then you could hear a thud, and that was just my phone. But, you know, we've got the Saints signing Chase Young. We've got your Green Bay Packers signing Josh Jacobs. Justin Fields gets traded to the Steelers. I mean, now we got a quarterback battle in Pittsburgh between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I mean, this free agency has been the wild, wild west. The Dallas Cowboys haven't really made any moves. Aaron Donald announces his retirement. I mean, the Rams are going to look so different next year. I mean, this has just been a crazy offseason in the NFL.
You know, the Josh Jacobs thing, him and Aaron Jones are very similar in skill set. Now, I think Josh Jacobs is more talented than Aaron Jones. But Aaron Jones, you know, I'll be honest with you, someone that's a Packers fan, that kind of felt wrong in a way because he's been there and – look, for a big part of his past year, he was a big part of offense. But, you know, he had struggled staying healthy. He's getting older. We know how it goes with running backs. Josh Jacobs is younger, a little bit healthier. They are keeping A.J. Dillon, too, which I'm happy about. Give him another shot. So, it's kind of like you replace Aaron Jones with somebody that's got the same skill set, another weapon for Jordan Love. So I think that was a good move for the Packers. I'm kind of honestly, it's out of the norm to a degree. The Packers don't normally spend money like that in free agency. You talk about the Steelers with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. That's an interesting development, in my opinion, because you know they only signed Russell to 1 year, and they're paying him nothing because he's still getting the money from the Broncos. So it's kind of one of them deals with him. So say he plays and they just don't like where it's going, and then they feel like Justin Fields, he's younger. He's got elements to his game that Russell Wilson does not have anymore. The Steelers are kind of set up like, okay, if Russell Wilson doesn't work out, we've got a insurance policy. We got Justin Fields. I think eventually Justin Fields takes over just because his talent level. I think he improved at Atlanta this past year. I really think he do. So, yeah, that's an interesting setup. I'm not the biggest Russell Wilson fan, be honest. I think the player on the field I respect, and if they get the same Russell Wilson that the Broncos got, he threw 26 touchdowns, Richard. It's not like he was horrible for the Broncos. I guess him and Sean Payton, just obviously that was just not a match. If they get – so let's look at the Steelers, and I listened to Dan Patrick a lot, and he made a lot of sense when he brought this up. You're pretty much guaranteed with Mike Tomlin to win 9 games. They have not had a losing season with him as head coach, ever. So, and when you're playing 17 games, so we're just saying from the average and what historically, you should get 9 wins just with having Mike Tomlin as your head coach. Is Russell Wilson a good enough quarterback to win 2 more games? Does he give you 2 more games? If he plays like he did with the Broncos last year, I could see this team getting 11 or 12 wins.
Even in that division with Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Deshaun Watson?
I'm not so. What's the thing is, Deshaun Watson has not been the Deshaun Watson that we remember in Houston
but with the Browns. To be fair, Nick Chubb is coming back from injury. They added Jerry Jeudy to a wide receiver core that has Amari Cooper. And you remember, Deshaun Watson did beat Baltimore in Baltimore last year when he was healthy. I just think that the Browns had a great team, and Joe Flacco is such a leader, and now he's on the Colts. It's this year, because they gave up all that draft capital to get Deshaun Watson, it's his team. They're going to ride and die with Deshaun Watson. And if Deshaun Watson is ever a shell of himself when he was in Houston, the Browns have got to be the team to beat in the NFC North, even with all that talent. Joe Burrow coming back, Lamar Jackson, adding Derrick Henry to the Ravens. I mean, this is going to be probably one of the toughest divisions in all of football, especially if the Steelers are, like you mentioned, going to improve by 2 wins with Russell Wilson.
You know, I would say, well, Mike Tomlin to me is the best coach in that division.
No, no question.
I mean, to me, he is. One, he's the only coach in that division with a championship. Now, the Ravens, they're going to be really good again. And I like the only thing with Derrick Henry, I'll say this. With Tennessee, when he was at his best, he usually was better after he got a bunch of carries at the end of the games. Is he going to get the same amount of carries with the Ravens as he did with Titans? I'm not sure. And look, the Bengals on paper should be good. T. Higgins is gone. And let's honest, they lost Joe Mixon. He's now with Houston. And look, Joe Burrow's great when he's on the field. He's kind of shown us he's injury prone. So I hate to say it, I don't trust Joe Burrow to stay healthy. Prove it to me that you can stay on the field. And then again, I want to see Deshaun Watson be the Deshaun Watson he was a few years ago with the Texans. I just hadn't seen that with the Browns. So if you had to ask me right now, I picked the Ravens to win that division. I would pick the Steelers to finish second.
Phillip, I think with the Kansas City Chiefs getting Hollywood Brown, they pretty much just got like a Tyreek Hill type player for a lot less money. I think the Chiefs, they are threatening to possibly three-peat because they just locked up Chris Jones for a big deal. Patrick Mahomes is restructuring his contract. You add Hollywood Brown to the mix. I know Travis Kelce's getting a little bit older. Well, you know, but they get Irv Smith as a backup tied in to Kelce. And I think the Kansas City Chiefs, especially in that division, I know the Chargers have got Jim Harbaugh, but they don't have Keenan Allen anymore. He's in Chicago. Austin Eckler, he's over in Washington. I think Justin Herbert's lost some weapons. And, you know, with the Raiders losing Josh Jacobs, Jimmy Garoppolo, he is left. It's going to be... I think the Chiefs are going to be the favorites once again in the AFC to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the Bills have lost some players through this process. I mean, they still got Josh Allen, but you know, I don't see how long Sean McDermott keeps that head coaching job. I mean, eventually this team's got to get to the Super Bowl. And the North, like we said, is. I feel like it's got to be Baltimore that's the threat to the Chiefs. That's just the one it's got to be. Because now, if the Bengals are healthy, we've seen Joe Burrow and that team knock off the Chiefs. That's kind of like being Patrick Mahomes' kryptonite. It's really been the Bengals. Nobody from the South is ready yet. I mean, the Texans have made some nice move. They added Hunter, the defensive player from the Vikings. I think that was a solid pickup. I don't really like that they extended and gave the big contract to Joe Mixon, but just within itself, having Joe Mixon gives C.J. Stroud another weapon. We'll see if C.J. Stroud can take that next step. Maybe that's the team down the road that's the big threat of Chiefs. But, yeah, especially now with, I mean, pretty much the Chargers. I mean, I guess Justin Herbert's going to throw the ball to himself. I mean, but you know what? Jim Harbaugh did kind of do that at Michigan. He kind of tears it down and then builds it back up. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the Chiefs, I mean, honestly, this past year was supposed to be the year if you were going to get Kansas City, that was when you were going to get them. They weren't supposed to be as good, and they still won a Super Bowl. So we'll see. It's going to be tough, but, you know, we never know. You never know how this stuff's going to go. So there will be somebody in that conference that we're not thinking about or talking about here that will rise up and be a dangerous team. The Dolphins have the ability on paper, but when they go up against certain teams, Tua just does not show up. So, but I forgot somebody, Richard. The New York Jets.
Oh, yes, because they just did sign Tyron Smith.
No, if they have a healthy Aaron Rodgers.
Tyrod Taylor's a good backup quarterback, by the way.
That's, well, anything's better than Zach Wilson. I mean, you can go out there and probably perform better than what he did. So if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and here's the thing with Aaron Rodgers, and this has come from a Packer fan. If he plays with a chip on his shoulder, like he's got something to prove, which I honestly think he will.
I think so, too.
Look out. They've got good enough players. They've got a good defense. So if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, look out for the Jets. That could be a dangerous team, too, as well. I just forgot, you know, because he didn't play, what, but 5 minutes last season. I blanked on the Jets. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is still there. He's a little bit questionable with some of his off-the-field conversations, but on the field, you still got to like what you have if he's healthy and motivated.
Philip, I think the Eagles getting Saquon Barkley, they have just become the most explosive offense in the NFL. But you still got to stop people. They have not improved their defense at all. But I do think that the Eagles are going all in. This is Nick Sirianni's year. You got a defensive coordinator with Vic Fangio. You got an offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. Nick Sirianni is on the hot seat more than ever. If the Eagles don't get to a Super Bowl, he's out. He will be fired, especially after the meltdown over last season.
Yeah, they didn't get better on defense. That kind of, that's going to be concerning. But I'm kind of wondering, I mean, is this going to be Saquon Barkley unleashed? Because when he was with the Giants, but didn't have a great offensive line. They didn't have any receivers around whoever was playing quarterback. Now he's on this team with Jalen Hurts. What they have at receiver?
No, their offensive line got worse when Jason Kelce retired.
And that's important because, one, I'm not actually concerned about on the field with that. Obviously, he's a leader in that locker room. Who takes that his place? And that is Jalen Hurts the guy? I tell you what, they should have traded for Justin Fields.
Because I do think
if Jalen Hurts gets with a guy injured this upcoming season, you've got somebody behind him that you can still run your offense.
Well, they did get Kenny Pickett.
That's my point. You can't run their offense with Kenny Pickett.
It's a different quarterback.
Yeah. See, and look, and I was last week I talked to LSU on the show. And so I was doing my prep work, and I was looking at Jaden Daniels. That was one of the conversations we were having. And it looks like the Commanders are going to draft him because they signed Marcus Mariota. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, you want your backup quarterback to be very similar in skill set to your starter. So if you have a starter that is a runner that can run the read option, you want a backup. Now, if they needed Marcus Mariota to be the backup and he mirrors the starter, you're probably not drafting Drake May. You're probably drafting Jaden Daniels. That's what I'm saying. So now with the Eagles, if Jalen Hurts gets injured, I mean, Kenny Pickett's not a statue back there, but he's not Jalen Hurts with the skill set either.
No, not at all.
So now if you're the Eagles, you're going to have to – if you're in the middle of a game and Jalen Hurts gets injured and out for the game, you're going to have to change your offense on the fly. And we saw with the 49ers what happened with them when Debo Samuel got hurt against the Packers. Completely changed their offense. So when your centerpiece of your offense gets hurt like that, it really limits your playbook. So I don't know. If you go and draft or trade for a Justin Fields, you could still run your offense if you're the Eagles. That's the dangerous thing. Offensive line, if Jalen Hurts gets injured, the way he plays is always a possibility.
Well, Philip, I really just appreciate you once again being on the show. We've really flown by this show. Just talking March Madness, the NFL offseason, college football. There's really no offseason when it comes to football. I know that you're excited about talking about football, especially we got the UFL coming up on the 30th.
No Stallions.
Oh, yeah. But you got to represent the hometown team, the Birmingham Stallions.
Giddy up.
There you go. All right. Before I let you get out of here, tell all my listeners where they can find you on social media and how they can listen and watch your show.
I just follow me on X, PJordanSEC. I post everything there. You can find me on, I have a Facebook page too, Philip Jordan Sports. Go find it. I post a lot of stuff. I'm probably more active on it than I am the Twitter account or X account when it comes to just sharing news. The Philip Jordan Show is on Apple Podcasts. Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, part of Wiregrass Daily News. And got some other stuff going to be coming up. Oh, yeah, and obviously my written work over Last Word of College Football. Got an article out talking about the Auburn defense. We are in spring practice right now. Auburn plays their spring game on April 6th. So I've got you covered when it comes to Auburn Tigers as well over at Last Word on College Football.
All right. Thanks once again to Philip Jordan from the Philip Jordan Show, and covers everything in the Wiregrass area, all the way down to Enterprise, Troy, you name it, Eufaula. Philip's got you covered in the Wiregrass area. Thank you so much, Philip, for being on the Sports Beat once again.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it. It was always a lot of fun.
All right. That's it. That's our show. Thank you to everybody who has watched us on Facebook Live and on YouTube. And you can download the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Yeah.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.